Joey Vendetta fills in for Jeff Blair, and he's brought a bunch of big-name guests with him. You're listening to The Jeff Blair Show with guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
One minute after 11 o'clock. Started from the middle, now I'm here. Started from the middle, get me a beer. No, I'm not a rapper. But I play one on TV. Kevin Barker is going to call in. Sportsnet baseball maniac. Can people stop sending me email Christmas cards? Stop. It's the most insincere thing ever. Send me a real Christmas card on paper. Recycled paper. Stefan Quintal's on the line. Stefan, are you sending electronic Christmas cards? I didn't get one from you, so I still
no,
like
I,
you.
I agree with you. You know, take the time to write a card.
What is this electronic Christmas card thing?
I know, I agree.
I think it's hysterical. So, Saku Koivu at 1 o'clock, you can stream it. We're going to have a Saku Koivu press conference. And you, being a French-Canadian, been playing in the NHL all the years, you played against Saku. Give me a recollection about Saku Koivu.
I played with him for
That's right. I forgot you played with him in Montreal for a hell of a long time.
For 7 years, yeah.
I just think of you as the disciplinarian now. I forgot that you played.
I know. You forgot. Yeah, okay. Good. He was a great captain. I still remember when he we came in the first we came from Finland, and I got traded from Winnipeg to Montreal, so we came the same year in 95. In Montreal together, so he was a great captain, and he was a great person, great human being.
Okay, so playing in Montreal, and we had Renaud Lavoie on the show earlier. You played in Montreal. You played with Saku for 8 years. Tell us about the dynamic of playing in that city, and the intensity, and the coverage, and the scrutiny, and how that may have helped you in your current role, which you've actually been kind of quiet and under the radar. You know, Brendan was the guy who instituted the videos, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he was the guy who created that, Brendan Shanahan, and we know that he runs the Leafs now. He's the president, but you've kind of, I won't say gotten lucky, but hasn't been really anything too controversial. And you've been prepped by playing in the hockey mad Montreal for this job. Has that helped you at all to be ready for this job that you got?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, playing in Montreal, especially dealing with, you know, obviously French Canadian, dealing with the French media and the English media, I think it helped me a lot. And I never understood why guys are think Montreal is a tough market or Toronto. I think when the expectations are high, I think that's where you perform the best, and it never really bothered me. You know, I think you need to be, even as a player or right now in my role, I think you need to be transparent and sometimes admit that you made a mistake, and I think people will understand that.
Okay, you say you have to admit when you made a mistake, and the one suspension we know. Look, elbows, headshots, a lot of the stuff you have to deal with. The one that I find really interesting is diving, because diving, and we know James Neal just got fined $2,000. Yeah. Diving is one of those ones where it's fairly interpretive to a degree, but it's one of those ones where we had the diving list before, guys were called out as divers. From a player perspective, and now being in the front office and having to deal with the actual suspensions, talk about diving. And what it is, and what it means, and how uncool it is for guys to be categorized as divers.
No, for sure, I agree. But just to clarify something, it's hockey operation in Toronto who makes the decision. But I get to vote on it every Monday morning.
Yes.
On all the plays, so I see them, and I know the. You know, some are hard to get, but some are so obvious. And when you see the same guy doing it, week after week, they kind of lose the benefit of the doubt, with our group. So,
well, you had to make a pretty interesting decision right off the top when you took over from Brendan in 2014. Look, you've only been on the job, a bunch of months, right? It hasn't been a year, but you had to deal with Matt Cook, speaking of repeat offenders, right? He need he need Tyson Berry during round one of the playoffs? Tyson Berry was having a fantastic, you know, season, came on really well later on in the season and was having a great playoff, was a big factor. And when you're dealing with repeat offenders and knowing the kind of player that you were, right? You were a guy that you were a guy that defended your teammates. You weren't a fighter, but you weren't afraid to fight. You weren't afraid to hit. You mixed it up. And you are an honest hockey player. And as Stefan Robida says, I've said it a bunch of times, Stefan Robida says, you have to play hockey the right way. You were a guy that played hockey the right way. What's your thought process when something like this happens? Is it like a legal proceeding for you?
You know what? When you talk about repeat offender, it's hard because some, like, let's take Matt as an example. I mean, he's been suspended 9 times. And I think in 15 to 16 years, he's been playing in the league. So, you have no comparables. It's easier when you have someone like, lately I had Ryan Garbutt on, we suspended for slew footing. And I had him it's been like 3 times out in front of me since I've been on this job. So it's some guys, it's hard because how many games are you going to give for like a repeat offender? We know now let's say we take illegal check to the head. No injury, no history. It's probably going to be a 2 to 3 game suspension. But when you deal with repeat offender, I would say it's a little bit harder. I agree with you.
Stefan Quintal is our guest on Twitter. He's not on Twitter, but at NHL Player Safety. And I don't know if you actually run the account or not, but I'll tell a quick story. The first time I met Stefan, and you'll remember this, was when your agent Pat Brisson was getting you a deal with the New York Rangers. And I think it was Dave Checkitz and Neil Smith, and you guys were in Santa Monica at the Ivy, and I don't know why I was there.
Wow.
I don't know why.
I can't believe you remember that.
Yeah, I remember. I think I might have been bussing tables. So I think I might have been coming to clear your table, and you were signing with the Rangers, and this was after the 98-99 season, right?
Yeah, it was the 99, yeah.
Yeah, you signed with the Rangers, and I remember that I walked up, and I didn't know who Neil Smith and Dave Checkitz were. So I just knew Pat, and I walked up to your agent, and it was the first time I met you. And I remember saying, "Hey, how you doing, Pat?" And he's like, "Oh, this is Stefan. You know, we may sign with the Rangers. We're just having a meeting, Pat." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I heard you were." And I said, I heard that you were going to sign with another team, and I think you ended up getting an increase in how much they paid you. So I think it worked out quite well for you.
I think, yeah. But I thought the first time we had a conversation was in Vegas at the Mr. Bruckheimer.
Yeah, but the Bruckheimer tournament doesn't count because you can't really remember the conversation. So
You're right. Doesn't exist, this tournament, anyway.
No, exactly. It's like Fight Club. We can't talk about it. So has there been any surprises in this new job for you? When you took the job, we know you were already in the front office, but yeah. Anything that a real eye opener for you?
I think the business side of it, like the everyday stuff that I have to do, dealing with the GMs and, I think it's more work than, keeping a good relationship and sometimes explaining why you're not suspending. I think it's, the obvious one we know, I wouldn't say it's easy, but us, we're looking at a place, this guy's going to get 2-3 games. But when there's a non-suspension, then you have to explain it. It takes a little bit of work. Like the Jonathan Tays and Seidenberg, you need to explain why you're not suspending. So that's the part of the job where I didn't deal with. I just give my opinion to Brennan, and he did all that. But now it's my job to do that. So.
Okay, before we let you go, and again, our guest is Stefan Quintal. Before we let you go, you said that, you have to deal with the GMs and you didn't really know how much of that was going to be part of your job. Do you just get phone calls from general managers and front office guys like flipping out or like calling you out, or how does the procedure work? Are they allowed to just call you and leave voicemails? Yeah, you don't know what you're doing.
They're not allowed to contact me 48 hours after a hit. So, so far it's been really good. It's been good conversation and respectful conversation. And it's been a good process.
Stefan, thank you very much for doing this. I hope you have a great Christmas.
Yeah. I'll see you in January at the All-Star game.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you. Okay. Stefan Quintal, who runs player safety for the National Hockey League, at NHL Player Safety on Twitter. You can hit that Twitter account up because it's not his, but it's the NHL Player Safety Twitter account. Vendetta in for Blair, 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. on this Thursday, December the 18th. Hard to believe, 7 days before Christmas. Zero today, down to minus six tonight. Sunny the next couple of days. Minus two with lows of minus six. And there's been a flurry of off-season Major League Baseball activity. Like, just a crazy amount. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. We're going to get Kevin Barker on the line. And some of this stuff has just been kind of over the top. Like the Dodgers, Matt Kemp. I wouldn't have traded Matt Kemp. Now, there probably wasn't much of a market for Andre Ethier. But, and I know Matt Kemp, salary-wise, it's pretty insane. And the Dodgers had to pick up a bunch of the salary to get the deal done. And then you look with San Diego picking up Will Myers now from Tampa, who you have to remember was the AL Rookie of the Year. Hit .293 in 2013 with 13 homers. Limited to 87 games. And A-Rod, in case you haven't heard, is now a full-time designated hitter. Not a big surprise. About 100 years old. Banged up. The Giants closed Romo for a couple of years. Not Tony Romo. Sergio Romo. $15 million. I think we're working on having Des Bryant on the show. Travis, are we going to get Des Bryant on the show tomorrow? Do we figure that out? We're working on Des Bryant. That'd be cool to get Des. I like Des Bryant. He is cocky. So, this Kemp deal will eventually get done once he passes a physical. Apparently, there's an issue. But you know the Dodgers are going to do everything they can to get this deal done. And if you look at what the Jays have done so far, are there more moves to be made? Closer. Who's the closer? That's the question. Kevin Barker, baseball maniac, maven, expert, prognosticator, soothsayer, joins us now. Kevin, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you. I was just wanting to ask you how it would feel to beat Jay Cutler today.
Well,
would that be cool if you're making 100 and some million bucks and not playing?
Well, $126 million was the deal. I think like just over a quarter of it's guaranteed. And Jimmy Clausen, who I barely knew was still in the NFL, is now the starting quarterback in Chicago.
Sorry to change the subject, but if you're a Bears fan, that's you're probably not having a very good week.
No, it's brutal.
I would think.
It's brutal, but here's the funniest part of the whole thing. And this is, I'll use the analogy, the Leafs are in Carolina tonight, right? And it's those games that you think teams have no shot at winning, they end up winning, and they're trap games. They've got to play Detroit. They're playing Detroit.
Yeah, they have no chance.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew Detroit's one of those teams no one's talking about, right? No one's
talking about
Detroit.
They have a great defense. That's what wins championships.
They have a great defense.
They do.
They have a great defense, and as you said, defense wins championships. But they're a team that no one's really talking about as a contender. And I think they have a shot as long as, you know, their issue in Detroit is they've just got dysfunctionality on the offense at times. But
it looks to me like, as much as I hate to say it, it looks like the Patriots are going to be tough to beat.
And why do you hate to say it? Because you hate the Patriots.
I'm a huge Broncos fan, and it just I'm not real sure they can go to New England and beat New England.
You know what? Listen, we know what's happened before when the Broncos have had to go to New England, but I think this is a little bit of a different Denver team.
Maybe.
Better defense.
Maybe. Maybe. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that. I heard your show earlier and was thinking, man, it must be nice to make $100 million and not have to work.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be one of the greatest feelings in the world. Although, you know what? Once you have the money, it's kind of about playing, right? And now his ego is bruised, although he gets to go home to Kristen Cavallari, so that's not bad. $100 million in Kristen Cavallari, and I'm not feeling sorry for Jay Cutler right now. So the meetings in San Diego, the off-season meetings, enough fireworks there, and then we've got more fireworks after this Will Myers deal It's a three-way deal that's being worked out right now. San Diego remaking themselves in a big way in the offseason. I know there's an issue with Matt Kemp's deal right now because of the physical. But
right.
But man, have you in recent memory? Do you remember this much movement? This many trains?
I think it's going to be real tough. To me, it looks like teams are going in the opposite direction. Looks to me like Tampa Bay maybe trying to rebuild on the offensive side because they've always been a team that has super good pitching, really good defense, and really not any hitting. Well, that's really not changed, and now trading Will Myers makes you scratch your head a little bit because, you know, the one guy that they do have in Will Myers and Evan Longoria, well, Evan Longoria is still there. Will Myers is not. And then you also trade a guy like Ryan Hannigan. I know he's not, you know, a top-end catcher, but it's super hard to go out and find a catcher, a veteran guy, that can put the right fingers down, especially on a pitching staff that you rely solely on pitching and defense to win games. So, to me, the Tampa Bay thing makes me scratch my head a little bit. It's a great trade for the Padres because, you know, Padres are like every other team. They're like sort of like the Blue Jays. They need to win and win sooner than later. So, it's a great trade to me for the Padres and not so much a little bit of a head-scratcher for Tampa Bay side.
And you talk about the Blue Jays and the Padres not being dissimilar to one another. How do you feel? I haven't had the chance to ask you this. We haven't spoken since this stuff has gone down. But, you know, with Donaldson at third base, Justin Smoak at first base, and you've got, platoon possibly to a degree with Encarnacion. And then you've still got Deonner Navarro as a piece that you can move. Blue Jays still not settled yet, right? Middle infield, Goins, Pompey in center. And you know better than anybody that it's down the middle, catcher, pitcher, second base, center field, all extremely pivotal positions. And those seem to be the positions on the Blue Jays that aren't necessarily completely settled. We know Russell Martin is catching. I get that part. But sure. Navarro's got a piece that can be moved. And we know that the bullpen is completely unsettled at this point. So
well, you seemed like you had a lot of things to say there about the Blue Jays. I think they've taken care of some of the offensive side. You can hide a couple of those guys like Dalton Pompey. What's he going to do? You can hide a couple of those guys by adding a Justin Smoak is a veteran guy that's been around that's not going to have a down year at the Rogers Center just because the Rogers Center and the American League East, the ball carries here. So you have better situations to hit the ball, to get hot. Not saying the pitching's not as good, and going to these places like Yankee Stadium and even Tampa Bay that still has really, really good pitching, and Baltimore's going to figure it out. You still have to figure out how to score runs. But up the middle, I've been saying on these shows earlier, if you're basing your entire team, say, on your second baseman like a Ryan Goins, you know, basically your second baseman on most teams are going to hit eighth or ninth. They're going to play great defense, and they're going to bump occasionally. They're going to hit behind runners. They're not going to hit 300. Most of them are not going to hit 300. They're not going to help your team that much on that side of the ball. And Ryan Goins is a prime example. He's a great defensive player at second base, and he can hopefully figure it out a little bit for the Blue Jays' sake on the offensive side. So it gets down to me, I just mentioned it earlier, related to football. Defense, meaning pitching and defense, wins championships and will get you to the playoffs. Well, do the Blue Jays have enough of that? They have five pretty good starters. I guess leading the pack would be R.A. Dickey. Can Marcus Stroman do what he did in September starting the year? Because let's face it, the American League East now all of a sudden seen Marcus Stroman. Can he do that? They have a question in their five spot. Who's going to be their five guy? Is that going to be Aaron Sanchez? To me, Aaron Sanchez is my closer or my setup guy just because he can get guys out with one pitch. You don't see that very often. Daniel Norris is my fifth starter. I just think I talked to Pete Walker last year standing around the batting cage, and he was saying that Daniel Norris right now can win 10 games for the Blue Jays. Well, that tells me if your five-starter can win 10 games and R.A. Dickey can win, 13 to 19 or 20, somewhere in that range, that's a pretty good pitching staff, turning it over to a good bullpen. But bottom line is the Blue Jays need a couple of pieces at the back end of that bullpen. And until they do those things, getting your lineup all fixed is really for naught, I think.
And look, we had a discussion yesterday on the show about second baseman and Ryan Goins and his position in the organization. And Devin Travis is a guy that a bunch of people are high on. But as you suggested, and I think pretty aptly, hiding guys, right? You can hide guys to a degree. And when you got Bautista in right, you know, Saunders in left, again, a guy that I think is going to thrive at the Rogers Center. Pompey, you can hide him to a degree in center field. Goins, sure. You can hide at second base. And when you've got veterans, and like you said, Justin Smoke, this ain't Safeco, right? This guy's going to hit. This guy's going to hit in this park.
He's hitting in a pretty good lineup here, too, with the Blue Jays. Also.
Yeah, yeah. So you can, you know, you can rotate guys around players like that to maximize their production. And I think the wild card here that I don't think people really get how much Russell Martin is going to mean to this team and potentially to this pitching staff.
Of course. Well, I think the one thing you figure on all of these good teams, San Francisco, Buster Posey, is the catalyst of your team. He's what makes that team go, putting the right fingers down. There's something said to that when a manager or a pitching coach doesn't have to look in and go, hey, time out, that's not what we want to do. I don't think this year you're going to see a whole lot of that with Russ Martin just because he's a captain. You know, he's going to put the right fingers down. He's going to basically go out to this pitching staff and say, I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but just do what I tell you to do, meaning if I put a two-finger down for a breaking ball, I want you to throw that. It gives a presence. It says that I'm the leader. This is the way we're going to do things. And it builds character. It builds a winning atmosphere, and it brings attitude. You have to have attitude when you go to the Yankee stadiums, when you go to Tampa Bay, because, you know, if you've ever been to Tampa Bay, it's dead there. There's nobody ever there. You have to bring attitude there. You have to bring energy. Russ Martin brings energy. He brings an attitude, which is what I think the Blue Jays have been missing. It's a lot of attitude, especially with teams, like I said, Yankee Stadium. Let's face it, they can't win there. Bringing Russ Martin, now all of a sudden you bring a different aspect, a different attitude, and I think this year is going to be a different feel for the Blue Jays on the field.
I think adding Russell Martin, who is a quarterback and a good quarterback, and like you said, there's not going to be a lot of the manager needs to come out because the catcher was confused.
That's right.
And that is, again, to be a championship team in any sport, you need those little incremental things to work out. And you,
right. Well, I think last year you looked, Deonner Devaro had a great second half of the season. But first half, you know, putting fingers down, knowing situations, know when to throw things, even little things like picking over, throwing to first base when a guy's on late in the game, to tell a young guy like Aaron Sanchez, hey, give me the thumb just to throw over to let you know I know you're there, to keep you off of second base. It's small little things like that that can help you win games in tough places, 4-3 games that, let's face it, the Blue Jays have a tough time doing that, and I think this year their odds of winning those games go up astronomically with a guy like Russ Martin.
Kevin Pillar, where does he fit into the equation other than being the backup at every position in the outfield?
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is. I think he's your fourth outfielder. He's the guy that's going to give some guys a day off. He can play center field, maybe depending on Dalton Pompey when he's struggling one side of the plate. He can give him a day off, a rest, maybe against a real tough left-hander. He can just, you know, he's an energy guy. He's going to come in maybe and pinch run sometimes, maybe for an Edwin Encarnacion that's DHing. He's going to be that little, you know, pain in the you-know-what to other teams just to give them a different look and bring energy. That's what you want, is a lot of energy on a field, especially from your backup guys, because they're backup guys for a reason, meaning they don't do one thing really good, but they do a lot of things okay, and that's, to me, that's what Kevin Pillar does. He brings energy. That's what they need.
One last thing before we let you go, Kevin, is Obama. I know you're a big Obama fan.
I am huge.
I know you're a big Obama supporter.
Huge.
We can change our underwear, possibly. You think that this unfreezing of U.S. political relations with Cuba, and I said yesterday that I didn't think it was going to have a huge impact from the standpoint of guys coming to North America. Guys defect, they take off, they leave. I don't know that the floodgates are now opening from Cuba to the United States. But what it does is, and I had a tweet from someone. I know you, how much you love Twitter too, as much as you love Obama.
Right.
So I had a tweet from someone who pointed out there's a story. We were going to try to get John Paul Morosi on the show, but Morosi had a column talking about the impact of everything from exhibition games to the way players come over, whether some of these expats are going to go back to Cuba to play in the World Baseball Classic, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What's your viewpoint on the unfreezing?
I think it's great. I think you want the greatest players in the world to play in the greatest venue in the world, meaning Major League Baseball is where everybody wants to come. That's where all the greatest players want to come and say, I played there, I can play here, I can play with the best in the world. And I was sitting around thinking, what's the last time a Cuban guy came over that wasn't any good, that didn't do something that was, oh, wow, that's impressive. I want to come back and watch this guy. So the more times you can have these guys come over from wherever it may be and make your organization, meaning Major League Baseball, that much better, making it, you know, where people want to watch, that's the main thing. Can you, you know, put butts in the seats to have them come and watch your team, make your team better, ultimately making Major League Baseball the best sport on the planet, which I think it is. And it's great stories. Like Aroldis Chapman, just a funny little story real quick. I was Aroldis Chapman, everybody knows, is the closer for the Cincinnati Reds. Well, I actually was in AAA with the Reds in Louisville, Kentucky, when he first got called up, and we were pulling in from a long road trip, and I was sitting beside the manager. Well, if anybody knows Aroldis Chapman, he likes his cars. He was sitting on front of his car, laying across his car, and it was a yellow Ferrari. I'll get that out of the way right out the gate. A yellow Ferrari, he's laying across it, talking on his phone, and the first thing out of the manager's mouth was, who the bleep is that? You know, just because it was weird looking. And then you look at the license plate, and it says 103 on it. Well, that's kind of cool, too, meaning I had no idea who he was. I didn't know what 103 meant until I actually saw him pitched and noticed that he throws anywhere from 99 to 105. And every day that he comes to the park, he has a different car, meaning a different Ferrari, that goes from 101 to 105, which that's a pretty cool story in itself, meaning you're a minor league guy that has five Ferraris with 101 to 105. My point being, Cuban guys are great. Everything they do, they bring a different element to the game. You know, you see different things. You see great hitters. You see great guys throwing, you know, Cespedes throwing balls from the fence and the outfield. It's just a great thing. And anything to make the game of Major League Baseball better, I'm all for it.
Well, Yasiel Puig captured the entire imagination of the United States, not as much here in Canada, but Yasiel Puig, when he burst onto the scene, was an absolute superstar. And before I let you go, I'll give you the analogy from a hockey standpoint, is that the Cuban guys are like Russian hockey players, right? They have that style. They have charisma. They're not afraid to spend large. Man, you just told the Aroldis Chapman story about lying across the hood of his Ferrari. That's the Sergei Berezin story when he went to Phoenix. You know, I was down in Phoenix. Sergei Berezin.
You know what they are to me? They're remote stoppers. When you're flipping channels and you see, you know, Aroldis Chapman pitching, you're going to stop flipping the remote and you're going to watch that. That's what I'm saying. It's great for baseball. It's great for fans. It's great for a guy like me that's a fan of all of baseball to see that and to see Major League Baseball better. Man, it's Major League Baseball is headed in the right direction, and it's a lot of fun for me as a fan and for other fans, I'm sure.
Kevin, thanks a lot for not sending me an electronic Christmas card. That was very nice of you not to do that.
No problem. I don't even know what that is, really.
That's when people like send an email with a Christmas card and you have to click it and it opens. I'm like, please stop. Okay.
Right. Well, you'll never get one of those from me.
Yeah, I probably won't even get a regular Christmas card, but have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too, man. And enjoy the couple more days of cold weather you have.
Yeah, I have no problem with it, man. Thanks a lot. That is Kevin Barker. That is Baseball Central's Kevin Barker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Joey Vendetta at 11:31. And a cool story about the thawing of the relations between the United States and Cuba, right? So Tony Oliva, a native of Cuba, three-time batting champion for the Minnesota Twins. So Obama announces these steps towards normalizing relations between the U.S. and Cuba. So outside of the fact that maybe it opens up the pipeline a little bit wider. But as I said, I think the best players in Cuba that could get out were getting out anyway. But, you know, Oliva still has three sisters and two brothers who live in Cuba. And he visits the country pretty regularly. And he has been waiting for this for 50 years. So it's been a hell of a long time coming. But the news kind of came out of, pardon the pun, left field. And this guy batted 304 and was in the majors from 62 to 76, all with the Twins, rookie of the year in 1964, I believe it was. So, again, has some pretty big ramifications outside of the talent side. You know, Major League Baseball teams may be able to play exhibition games now in Cuba. You've got the, you know, the Winter Classic, the World Baseball Classic, not the Winter Classic, but the World Baseball Classic. Maybe these players are going to go back and compete in Serie Nacional, the Cuban League. There's a bunch of different stuff that could happen, and we'll hopefully get John Paul Morosi on the show tomorrow to talk more about it. We're going to come back, finish the program, and Hockey Central coming up at noon, Tim and Sid at 1 o'clock. And don't forget, at 1 o'clock on sportsnet.ca, the Saku Koivu press conference. You can stream it if you want to check it out. Saku Koivu, of course, being honored in Montreal against the Canadiens, playing the Ducks, the only two teams that he's played for. So that's going on today on sportsnet.ca. But we'll come back and take your calls. Toronto Raptor fans, we want to hear from you. Basketball fans, we want to hear from you. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Simple question. Are the Raptors the team to beat in the Eastern Conference of the Association? We'll take your thoughts on Twitter and otherwise when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures. And you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, where they talk sports manly stuff. Bring your stuff.
Man, I remember a long time ago, I emceed the Metallica Ride the Lightning Tour at Maple Leaf Gardens. I walked out on stage, I thought I was going to get a bottle thrown in my head. I was wearing a hoodie like the Unabomber. That's a bad look, being the Unabomber. Remember that? Awful. There's some crazy people, man. Be nice to each other. It's the holiday season. Be nice to each other all season. Like an all-season radial. Give them an all-season hug. 17 minutes before noon in Hockey Central. They have nice flowers in their studio if you want to watch it on television. Man, we have a lot of stuff going on, speaking of television. 7 p.m., Sportsnet 360, Thursday night hockey. Avs at Penguins. In the studio, Darren Millard, Doug McLean, John Shannon. Who sang that song? Shannon is gone, I heard. Is that Henry Small? Travis, look that up. Make me sound smart. It was about a guy's dog. I think it was Henry Small. Henry Gross, that's right. Brandeo, do you have that song? It's just horrible. It's about a dog leaving. We're going to find this song. Shannon, it's going to be John Shannon's new... Oh, listen to this. It's just crap. Don't drive off the road right now. Oh, Tim and Sid are back, by the way. They were sick. How did we get here? Get to the chorus. Don't bore us. What's this guy's name? Henry Gross? This is a Canadian song, right? Somebody's going to tweet me. No. It's from Zimbabwe. Can we get to the chorus? Oh, hold on. Someone just hit me on Twitter. Oh, here it is. There it is. Listen to this guy. All All right, Brandeo, bring him down. You know what you got to do to hit that note? You know where you got to be grabbed and by whom? Like, you got to be grabbed somewhere north of the 49th parallel. Oh, James Forshee, can you finish the Sergei Berezin story? Yeah, when I was in Phoenix one time, Sergei Berezin left the Leafs. I can't remember if he was traded or he was a free agent. So it's after the game. I think I'm going to say hi to, like, Mike Comrie, who ended up marrying Hillary Duff, as you may or may not know. Probably never heard the song we just played. Anyway, cars are parked, like, under the rink, right? The players get to park their cars on the ramp. It's the ego ramp. Berezin is lying on the hood of his yellow Ferrari in a yellow suit. That's why I said that the Russian hockey players, because of their flamboyance, are something akin to Cuban baseball players. Anyway, Shannon is gone, I heard. No, he's not. He's going to be on Sportsnet 360 tonight with Millard and McLean. 10 p.m., Sportsnet 590, right here, The Fan, the postgame show with Stelic and Osborne. I love listening to those guys. They're like the two angry old dudes on the Muppets. I don't know what those guys' names are. Someone's going to tweet me their names. Statler and who? Waldorf. I stayed at the Waldorf once. I got thrown out. Statler and Waldorf, better known as Stelic and Osborne. 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. Oilers, ooh, they smell. How's San Jose 17-11, by the way? They just, whoever, like, wanted to not make Joe Thornton, like, what a stupid move, taking the captaincy away from Joe Thornton. I'd kill to have Joe Thornton on my team. Anyway, in the studio, Millard, McLean, they're like there all night. Game, Kevin Quinn, Drew Remenda, our pal Gene Principe, who we had on the show yesterday. And then at 1 a.m., if you're still up, that means that you've got to call your drug dealer again because you're probably running out of whatever it is you're taking. I mean, that's late, or unless you worked late and you got off at 11 and you went home. Brad Fay, Neil Smith, PJ Stock, Hockey Central tonight. Man, so much stuff going on. Leafs in Carolina tonight, as I said, trap game. But let's get your calls in really quickly or your tweets. Quite simple. Are the Toronto Raptors the best team in the Eastern Conference? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. Come on, Raptors fans. We want to hear from you. Are the Raptors the best team in the Eastern Conference? I'll start off by saying I think they are right now at this particular moment. But are they the favorites to win the East? I don't think so. I still think the East is going through Cleveland. Why do I say that? Because Cleveland has LeBron James. That's why. Kyrie, LeBron, Dion Waiters, Kevin Love. That's more star power than the Raptors have. And they can shoot threes. They can spread it out. They can play it any way you want. Their biggest problem is there's not enough balls on the court, pardon the pun, to go around. So we're going to take a break here in about 3 minutes, and then Hockey Central's coming up. So real quick, if you want to hit me on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta, are the Raptors the favorites to come out of the East? I don't think they are. I'd like to see it. You know, Atlanta's been a surprise. Washington, with Wall, you got to think, you know, and picking up Pierce was huge for Washington because they were missing that grit, that dirt, that guy that goes inside and has razor blades taped to his elbows. But Kevin Love, it can't be understated. Can't be understated how much Kevin Love is going to mean to Cleveland in the second half of the season. But LeBron has to take that team over, and he has. He definitely has. It's a little different than it was earlier in the season when he was being Captain Politico. LeBron now, it's his team. It was always his team, right? All the hype, all the Nike spots, all that garbage, that's all in the past now. Cameron in Mississauga, we got a couple of minutes here. Give me your take in a minute. Who's the team that's coming out of the East?
Yeah, hands down, it's absolutely got to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. with the additions they made with LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and Love. So the thing is like you said earlier, and you guys heard in your show, that, you know, last time when LeBron joined the Heat, it took them, you know, a minute before they had to, you know, regroup and go through some bumps and growing pains. But then they got it all together, and, you know, they just whooped some butt. And they cleaned up in the East for that after that period of time. So I think it's going to be just a matter of time before we see that happen in Cleveland as well.
All right, Cameron.
That's why that team is built up so well.
Cameron, thanks a lot. I don't mean to cut you off because I want to get a couple more guys in here. We only got about a minute here. So we are going to go to Corey and Vaughn. We'll have to be our last call. Thanks to everybody else for calling. Real quick, Corey, who do you think comes out of the East?
I think it's going to be Cleveland, and the Raptors are going to be a close second or third. Just the way Cleveland is going to become. And I don't think they're done tinkering with that lineup. They got a lot of trade pieces to go. So I think they're going to get stronger. And with LeBron, it's LeBron's team, and it's going to be hard for anybody to go through them. But the Raptors, anybody going through the Raptors is going to be hard.
Corey, thanks for the call. Vendetta done for today. Like I said, Hockey Central coming up at noon. Tim and Sid from 1 to 4, Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. And we'll be back tomorrow in on the Jeff Blair Show. Like I said, we're going to have Lee Steinberg on and trying to get Dez Bryant in. So hopefully you'll tune in tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Have a great day. Joey Vendetta wrapping up for today on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.